18. Psalm 18. And we'll read the first six verses, and then we'll skip down and read the last five verses, verses 46 through 50. And we'll make a few other comments and look at a few other verses in Psalm 18, but really just the first six verses, and then the last five verses we will read. Psalm 18. Give you just a second. I still hear some pages turning. It's always a good thing. Psalm 18. Let's begin reading verse number 1. David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, would you jump down to verse number 46? Verse number 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Preaching tonight on this subject, a simple message that I have entitled, Choosing God. Choosing God. Let's pause and ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are before me. And Lord, that we have an opportunity. We have the freedom in this country still to worship you, Lord, according to your word, according to the dictates of our conscience. And Lord, we thank you for what you've already done in our midst today, what we've already received. And Lord, thank you that you want to continue to work and continue to conform us more to your image. Lord, would you speak to us tonight through your word? Lord, as we look at some of these choices that David made, I pray that we would make the same choices. And Lord, if we have been, that we would continue to do so, as it's a daily choice, Lord, a daily battle that we are in. And so, Lord, you strengthen the brethren tonight. Lord, use your word and Spirit of God. Would you just move in this service in a mighty way? We need you desperately. Lord, fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross, for you alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord allows us to gaze into his word and to glean from the many saints of God who have walked the road of life before us. I'm glad that we can read of their victories. I'm glad that we can read of their defeats and their failures. I'm challenged when I read their choices to keep loving, trusting, and praising the Lord. Now, here in Psalm 18, we read about a man by the name of David. Now, we know David. He's the giant slayer. He is the sweet psalmist of Israel. He is the anointed king, the man after God's own heart. In the life of David, truly, there is so much to glean from. But here in Psalm 18, we really get a glimpse into the character of David. Now, we know that David wasn't perfect. He had some blunders, some serious blunders, some serious sin failures. Of course, the adultery with Bathsheba and committing murder with her husband Uriah. He had some serious failures. But I would submit to you tonight that here in Psalm 18, the condition of David's heart and the words that he says, this is how he lived the great majority of his life. The superscription at the beginning of the psalm is really a part of the Hebrew scripture. If you see, so what are you talking about? If in a lot of your Bibles, you probably have a little superscription before verse number 1. Well, that is genuinely a part of the Hebrew scriptures, and it's really the first verse in the Hebrew Bible. And if you compare it to 2 Samuel chapter number 22, it's the first verse of 2 Samuel 22. In fact, 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18, they're really the same song of praise to the Lord. And it's what it tells us here, if you have that superscription, it says this, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. So that's the context. In a day, of course, we know that David, he was on the run a lot. He was on the run from Saul. He was on the run from his own son, Absalom, who was trying to take away the kingdom from him. And so in that day, when the Lord has delivered him, these are the words that he speaks. And what I see here in these words are choices that David makes. Now think about it. After all the problems and all the trials that David's had, it would have been very easy for him to become cynical, to become bitter, to be angry, to be apathetic towards God, to walk away from his relationship with the Lord. It would have been very easy for David to have taken that route. But David doesn't do that. And it's like he is telling himself here in these verses and telling the world, telling each new generation, because God has recorded these words for us. It's like he is telling us, this is how I am going to live. These are my choices. After all that I've been through, I'm still choosing God. You say, Brother Will, how do you see that? There are four times in this psalm where David uses the phrase, I will. And I love it. Any preacher loves it when a text of scripture just kind of lays out its own outline, right? Those are the best, and those are the best texts to preach, really, as you're just preaching through the Bible. Well, there's four times here in Psalm 18 where David says, I will. And you know, when you say I will, that's a choice. That's a choice. You know, God doesn't force us to do anything. Sometimes I think that would be a lot easier, you know, if God just made us do what we're supposed to do. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't force us to be saved. He doesn't force us to serve him. He doesn't force us to give up sin, okay? He doesn't force us to do anything. The Christian life is not automatic. There are choices that we need to make every single day. I talked this morning in the Sunday school hour about how we need to daily drink water of the rain of heaven. I talked about the source, and the source has to be the Spirit of Christ for anything that is eternally effective, okay? But as I mentioned, that doesn't mean that we just sit back and just say, okay, well, God does it all. And so, you know, I don't really have to. No, we have choices every single day that we have to make. You say, well, how do we choose God? What does that look like, preacher, every day to say, I am choosing God? Well, let's see these choices that David makes, and let's examine the different aspects of how we can choose God as well, right? So very, very simply, you see it right here in our text. Number one, here's what David says. Here's the first choice. Verse number one, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David makes his first choice. He says, I will love God. I will love God. Now, the word love here, I like to do word studies. And there's so much that we can glean, again, from the original languages. The word love here in the Hebrew language, and I can't roll my R's, okay? So it's not going to exactly sound right. But it's the word rekam, okay? Rekam, something like that. All right, transliterated into English, it would be R-A-C-H-A-M. And it's very interesting to me to note that this word, this Hebrew word rekam, it denotes the very tenderest affection. In fact, it's very interesting to see that most of the time, when you look at the in the Hebrew Bible, if you're able to do that, if you're able to do a little bit of study, most of the time when this word is used, it is done in relation to God's love for man. That's how tender we're talking about. And very few occasions is it used in relation of man's love to God. This is a very affectionate word, a very tender word. And so in other words, this is not just lip service that David is giving. This is not just, as many of us do, and I put myself in this category, sit in church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, when the night before we've been bitter and complaining and our heart's a million miles away from God. This is not just lip service. When David uses this word, again, it is denoting, it's coming from his heart. He is saying, listen, God, after all that I have been through, I am still choosing you. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Again, David says, I'm going to love my Lord. I'm not going to forsake him. I'm not going to love myself by throwing a pity party for all my past problems. I think I'll just choose to keep loving God. Now, why does he say that he's going to love him? In other words, what is love for God born out of? Well, he goes on here in verse number two to describe this God whom he loves so much by giving eight word pictures of who God is. Notice again what he says. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And so in other words, he uses the word strength twice. He uses the word rock, fortress, deliverer, my God, buckler, horn of salvation, high tower. In other words, David has a multitude of reasons to love God. Love for God, understand, is born out of who he is and what he has done in our lives. You see, if you're having problems loving God tonight, then I suspect you haven't been counting your blessings as you should. I suspect that you're probably more focused on what you don't have rather than what you do have and what God has done in your life. You see, the truth of the matter is, when we think about the strength of God, David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. How many of you need strength? All right? I think that's everybody. You need physical strength. You need mental strength. You need emotional strength. You need spiritual strength just to keep fighting this spiritual battle, just to keep, again, walking after God and resisting. Man, we need strength. And guess what? The Lord is our strength. It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 4. I love this verse. Isaiah 26, 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Wow, that sounds pretty good. Again, that means I can wake up. I don't have to wake up tomorrow. If God gives me tomorrow, November 25th, 2024, if he gives me tomorrow morning, I don't have to worry about going to God and saying, Lord, I need some more strength today. And God's going to say, oh no, I already used all that up to tomorrow. It's never going to happen that way. Because in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's our strength. Again, when we think about how God is our rock, we sang it tonight, didn't we? A shelter in the time of a storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear. Now, what does that rock speak of? That rock speaks of stability. It speaks of security. You know, we live in an ever-changing world. Things are changing all the time. Everything that we know in this material world changes, right? Economy changes. Politics change. Technology changes. You get a new phone today, it's old tomorrow because they're always coming out with another phone, another television, another new car, something that they want you to have, right? By the way, if you just got a new phone or a new car or something like that, you're not in sin, okay? I'm just simply saying things are changing all the time. Our bodies are changing, right? Some of us woke up this morning and said, oh man, I got a little backache. Or oh man, that's right. And yeah, we can testify. Everything that we know is changing. And aren't you glad tonight that in this ever-changing world that we live in, that we have a changeless one that we can look to, that he is our rock, he's our stability, he's our security. Our feet are planted on him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, that's a reason to say, I will love thee because you're my rock. You are my stability. In this crazy world, you're the one that gives me security and keeps me sane in all this insanity. He says he's his strength. He's his rock. He says he's my fortress. The idea of the word fortress there is he's the stronghold from the enemy. Right? Proverbs 18, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a what? A strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. He's our fortress. He calls him here his God. I love that. He says, my God. By the way, that's a personal relationship there. It's not just he's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although he is that. David said, you are my God. It's personal. He calls him his salvation. That's self-explanatory. He calls him the high tower. That is victory over the trials and the temptations that seek to assault us. In other words, listen, when we meditate upon all that God is to us and all that he's done for us, our love ought to be inflamed. It's like when someone breathes upon those dying embers and causes them to burst into flame once again. Again, if we're having trouble loving the Lord, if you say, Brother Will, I'm really struggling loving the Lord, we're probably not meditating upon just who he is and all that he's done for us. I want to ask a personal application question because that's what preachers are supposed to do, right? How's your love for the Lord tonight? I asked you this morning, I think it was Sunday school. I asked you, did you tell God that you needed him this morning? And I'd ask you this tonight. Did you tell Jesus that you loved him? There are days, Brother Reed, where it's like the end of the day, and the Spirit of God says to me, you didn't tell me that you loved me today. Oh, wow. I think you ought to tell God you love him every single day. I think you ought to tell him that multiple times throughout the day, as you're just going about your day, as you're driving in your car, as you're mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or whatever. God, I love you. I want you to know that I'm choosing you. I will love thee. Right? Did you tell God you loved him this morning? Above all else, the Christian relationship, get this, above all else, the Christian life is a relationship with Jesus. Above all else, it's a relationship with a living God, a living Lord. I think I said this, I can't remember if it was Sunday school or the morning service. All right, all these services run together in my mind. But if you view the Christian life as a straitjacket experience, in other words, I got to do this, and I can't do this, and I got to do this, and I can't do this. You're in religion. And I believe there's a lot of saved people, good people, that are on their way to heaven. But when it comes to sanctification, living the Christian life, they're still in religion, right? Listen, this relationship that we have with Christ, it's a love relationship. And above all else, God wants our love. And by the way, if we do love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, with all that we have, with all that we are, guess what? The do's and the don'ts, they're going to take care of themselves. I'm going to want to open up his word every day because that's where I learn more about my Jesus. That's where I see what God wants for my life, right? But it's not going to be, well, I'm going to read my Bible because my pastor says that I should. And I know that I need to. And no, that's just going through motions. That's just religion, right? Well, I'm going to pray just because, again, I know that. If I'm in a love relationship with Jesus, I want to talk to him. It's a love relationship. Again, I just quoted the verse, Mark 12, verse 30. This is what Jesus said when a scribe came to him. And a scribe said, "Hey, master, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus, quoting back to Deuteronomy chapter number 6, Jesus says this, Mark 12, verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." 1 John 4, 19. We love him, why? Because he first loved us. You see, he's the one that initiated this love relationship. It wasn't us. We weren't just coming to God and saying, "Oh, Lord." No. Remember Romans 5:8? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is the one who initiated this love relationship with his people. And we love him because he first loved us. That's the first choice. And really, when it comes to revival, by the way, you talk about revival and getting right with God and making sure that our lives, there's nothing between us and the Savior. It really boils down to this. You know why some of us, again, I include myself here, right? Because from time to time, I fall into this as well. Because I'm just a man just like you, right? I got the world, the flesh, and the devil fighting me. You know why some of us are hesitant to give up sin? We don't want to give up this or that. You know why? Because we love ourselves more than God. That's the simple answer. Why do we sin? We love ourselves more than God. Why do you hold on to that grudge? Why do you hold on to that bitterness towards somebody? Because you love yourself more than God. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that's what it boils down to. Why are we not willing to give up something that maybe that God's spoken to us about in some area of entertainment or some other philosophy that maybe we've grabbed onto? Or because we love ourselves more than God. And when we talk about revival, coming back into a right relationship with the Lord, we've got to come to the point and say, "God, I'm going to love you above everything else." And that's going to mean sometimes that some other things have to go. We have to deny some other things. We have to be willing to get rid of some other things if we're going to love him with all of our hearts. How do we choose God? We say, number one, "I will love thee." That's what David said. Secondly, back in Psalm 18, let's look at the second choice that David says. First of all, he says, "I will love God." Secondly, right there in verse number 2, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." Secondly, David says, "I will trust God." I will trust him. Now, I want you to see all these decisions, all these choices really, really go hand in hand. In other words, they're really a domino effect, and we're going to see that. In other words, trusting God comes right on the heels of loving God. Because the more that you love someone because you know who they are, you know their character, you know what they'll do, the more you can trust them, right? Doesn't that make sense? When someone has a proven track record of consistency and dependability, it's easy for you to say, "Hey, can you go get this? Can you go get this job done? Or I need this done." It's easy for you to trust that person when they have a proven track record, when they've shown some consistency, right? Well, friend, can I say tonight that God's track record, it's spotless. It's spotless. It's absolutely perfect. He has not failed us one time. One time. Nobody here tonight can say, "Yep, God failed me that time." No. If that's what you think, then you don't have a proper understanding of what God was doing in that situation. And I know we're tempted. I know we don't understand all that God does. And I know it's sometimes easy to think that way. But the truth of the matter is that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Nobody here tonight can say, "Yep, God failed me right there." No, God has not failed us one time. And yet too many times can I say we are still slow to trust him. There are still too many instances where we trust ourselves and our resources and how we can try to figure out the situation and our wisdom. And that's why the Bible says, right, most of us know this verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart," and what? "And lean not unto thine own understanding." In other words, stop trusting yourself. Stop thinking that you can handle life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. See, trusting God is a choice. It's a choice to trust him for your eternal home. And again, I'll just throw this in here because I never, ever want to take it for granted. If there's somebody here tonight and you still are not sure, you say, Brother Will, I've been coming to church for a while and I consider myself a religious person, but you know, I don't really know if I were to die today that heaven's my home, that my sins are forgiven. And you need to make the choice to trust Jesus and Jesus alone as your Savior. Again, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. See, it's a choice to deny yourself and your good works and what you think you can do and to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a choice to trust him to live a fruitful Christian life. Again, we talked about that this morning, and I can't emphasize that enough because I know because I've lived so many times just trying myself and just going through the motions. And no, it's a choice to every day get up and say, God, I need you today. I'm nothing apart from you. Apart from you, I can do nothing, John 15:5, but Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Isn't that an amazing contrast? Nothing apart from him, all things through him. Wow, what a contrast. It's a choice to keep trusting him in the trials of life. Again, kind of hit upon this last night. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going through. But I know the world is an incredibly, incredibly sad place sometimes. And can I say this? There are going to be times in life where every circumstance is shouting at you just to give up. It's not worth it. Just stop it. Stop coming to church. Stop serving. It's just every circumstance is going to be saying that to you. And there are going to be times in life where, can I say, you better, in dependence upon God, I'm not talking about fleshly dependence, but in dependence upon God, you better have some grit, have some fortitude, have some resolve. And like Job, you can say, and Job said in Job 13:15, though you slay me, yet will I trust in him. Wow. One of the most amazing statements in the Bible. Job said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it. And when you read through the book of Job, he had some honest questions. He had some honest complaints. But he said, though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. I'm just being transparent, and I don't know if I'm there. I want to be there. I want to be able to say that. I don't know if I'm there sometimes. Say, God, if you kill me, I'm going to trust you because your ways are higher than my ways. You know what you're doing. You got to keep trusting God through the dark times of life. C.H. Spurgeon said this. You're going to find that I'm a quote guy. I'm all the time giving quotes. I love quotes. I got quotes up in my office. And I mentioned one from Moody this morning. That's one of my favorites. This is another one of my favorites. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, I have learned to kiss the waves that throw me against the rock of ages. Wow. Most of us, myself included, we don't want to kiss those waves. We're doing everything we can to get out of those waves. Spurgeon said, anything that throws me against the rock of ages, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to take pleasure in that. Because when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow. Keep trusting God. That's a choice. Again, it's not automatic. Just because you're here tonight and you're born again, you say, I know I'm going to heaven. It doesn't mean you're going to trust God tomorrow in the circumstances of life. We've got to keep trusting him. By the way, all the reasons that David mentions for loving God are the same reasons to trust him, by the way. See, if he's strength, then I have to trust him for it. I got to deny myself what I think I can do, and I got to rest in his strength. If he is salvation, again, I got to trust him for it. If he is my high tower, victory over the enemy, I have to trust him for it. If you're there in Psalm 18, look at verse number 30. Psalm 18, verse number 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that what? Trust in him. He's a buckler, a shield to all those that trust in him. Psalm 62 and verse number 8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Again, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how we're supposed to live. Colossians 2:6, the Apostle Paul said it this way: as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Question tonight, this is not a trick question. How did you receive him? Faith, right? You transfer your dependence from baptism, good works, church membership, whatever you were depending upon, to Jesus and Jesus alone. You trusted him. He is the Savior. No church is the Savior. No amount of good works is the Savior. All right? Only Jesus is the Savior. Well, Paul says, as you received him, now you're to walk in him. Again, we've kind of hit upon that this morning, right? It's every day. One step after another step, dependence upon Christ. He is our life, not just in getting to heaven. He is our life right now. And all that God wants to do in our in and through us in this world in which we live. Here's another personal application question. What area tonight is God telling you to trust him in? I think about that in my own life. We're launching out next year as far as full-time. Now, God has opened up a lot of doors, and our schedule has continued to increase. 2024, this has been our fullest year. We've been out from our home church about half a year, about 26, 27 weeks. And so I praise the Lord for what he's done. And so earlier this year, I'd say April, May, something like that, God began to work in my heart and said, you just need to go. It's time. And I had all the excuses. And man, I still, if I'm in the flesh, I'll still give all those excuses to God. And God has to continue to say, hey, can God furnish a table in the wilderness like he told the Israelites? Of course he can. Of course he can. If God's leading us to something, that's the guarantee of his provision. It's the guarantee of his grace, right? And so he's had to continue to remind me about that. What is it for you tonight? Where God's saying, stop it. Stop your worrying. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Trust me. Just give it to me. I can handle your life. I can run your life a lot better than you can. David says, I'm going to choose God. I'm going to love him, and I'm going to trust him. There's a third thing right here in Psalm 18. Look, it says in verse number three, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Thirdly, David says, I will call upon God. Again, notice these decisions are really a natural progression. If you're going to love God, that's going to lead to trusting God. And if you're going to trust him, you are going to call upon him because you believe that he can help you. You believe that he is the answer. Again, you're not going to call upon someone. You're not going to ask someone to do something for you if you don't believe in some measure that this individual, this person, can help me. My wife and I bought our first home August of 2023. And so we lived in the church parsonage for the first 11 plus years of our marriage. And again, I could talk about that all day, how the Lord just very, very clearly directed and told us to buy this house. And so I am not a Mr. Fix-It. I'm just not. All right, I do not consider myself a handyman whatsoever. I will YouTube something and say, okay, how do you do this? How do you do that? And even after I watch the video, there is no guarantee that it's going to get done right. Okay, I've not been gifted in that way. And so, you know, first time homeownership, and I'm finding all these little things, and it's like, oh man. And so this is tough, you know. And some of you that have owned homes for years, you could, I'm sure, tell me about, you know, how it's just going to get better, right? Maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, don't tell me about that. But all that to say that last winter, I noticed that we had a problem with one of our vents. And I didn't know what was going on. And so, you know what? We had an HVAC guy in our church. And so you know what I did? I called upon him. Because I knew this is this guy's specialty. And if anybody can help me, this guy can come. He can diagnose my problem, and he can get this vent working like it should. And he did. He came, diagnosed it within 10 minutes, and he got it working just fine. Why did I call upon him? Again, I believed this guy could help me. Choosing God is practically evidenced by calling upon him in prayer. Don't tell me that you're trusting God, that you're choosing him, when you don't call upon him. Or when you're calling upon him is very, very hit and miss. Very sparse. Now, I understand tonight that all of us can improve in prayer. None of us have arrived, and all of us have room for growth. But there are some, I would dare say, that your prayer life is on life support right now. It's basically non-existent. Well, how can you say that you're trusting God when you're not daily coming to Him as the answer and daily calling upon Him? And when we choose God over ourselves, we're in constant communication with Him. The psalmist said this in Psalm 55, verse 17. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and call upon the Lord, and He shall hear my voice. And cry aloud, that's what it is. And cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Wow. Evening, morning, noon will I pray. Can you say that? I mean, tonight, can you honestly say that? God, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to cry aloud because I got these issues in my life, and our church has these issues, and our country has these issues, and I'm concerned about my children and my grandchildren, and I'm going to cry aloud. And again, notice that confidence in prayer. He shall hear my voice. Wow. Wow. But notice what it says. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You see, He's worthy to be praised amongst other things because He listens to the cries of His children and He saves them from their enemies. Again, notice verse number 6, Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even into His ears. I want you to turn just for a second, a few pages over. Would you turn to Psalm 34? Just a few pages over, Psalm 34. Excuse me. Well, yeah, I'm just going to start verse number 1 because I love these verses, all right? So it all kind of goes together. This is a great Thanksgiving psalm. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Now notice verse number 6. This poor man cried. I love that phrase, that phraseology. This poor man cried. Do you know your weakness tonight? Do you know your bankruptcy as far as pleasing the Lord in and of yourself? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Look down at verse number 15. Verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. See, to cry or to shed tears is human. But to cry out to God is Christian. To cry out to God is Christian. It's what believers ought to do in every trial, in the face of every temptation, in every situation of life. We need to declare, I will call upon the Lord. How's your prayer life tonight? Are you calling upon Him on a daily basis? I'm sure everybody here tonight, you could raise your hand and say, this is my problem. This is my, you could give me a whole list of them. This is what I'm facing right now. Are you calling upon the Lord and asking Him to meet that need? And let me give you one more thing that I got to be done. All right. So David says, I will love God. I will trust God. I will call upon God. And then back in Psalm 18, at the end of the Psalm, excuse me. He says in verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. David ends this Psalm saying, I will give thanks unto God. I will give thanks unto God. Again, notice the progression. I'm going to love God. If I love Him, that's going to lead to trusting Him. If I trust Him, I'm going to call upon Him. And all of that leads to thanksgiving. And David, again, ends this psalm choosing to say, thank you, God. Thank you. Here's another personal application question. Is there thanksgiving in your heart tonight? You're going to have thanksgiving on your table this Thursday. Is it going to be in your heart, though? Or just on your table? Because there's a big difference. Do you constantly live with gratitude instead of discontentment and complaining? This is one of my favorite thanksgiving quotes or praise quotes. And I don't know, this is where I read this from. It was anonymous, so I'm not sure who said this. But they said, what if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today? Whew. Makes me think, did I thank God for my wife and my children and our home and our vehicle and the money that I have in the bank and the measure of health that I have? And wow, what a thought. What if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things that you thanked God for today? It's easy. It is so easy to take things for granted. We need to view life every single day as a gift from God, because that's what it is. Every single day that he gives you. Say, well, I'm tired and I'm hurting and I'm... It's still better than you deserve. And again, I'm not trying to minimize anything that anybody is going through, because I understand, again, that things are tough sometimes. So I'm not minimizing anybody's trial. But it's still better than you deserve. Wow. There have been times in my life, and I wish it were this way all the time, but there have been times where I've been in tune with God's Spirit, and I have felt so overwhelmed at the goodness of God, to the point of just tearing up and just, and you know, just, Lord, why? I don't deserve any of this. I get to travel around. You call me to preach your word. I get to travel around and I get to preach to people and I get to experience, and my family gets to experience, my children, of course, get to experience a lot of neat field trips, right? We've been to Mount Rushmore this year, and to the beach, and to George Washington's birthplace, and to, I'm missing something, Statue of Liberty last month, right? And man, we get to experience all these things. And I don't know what it is for you, but I'm telling you what, if you go down the list, count your blessings, name them one by one, man, God has been so good to us. And hear me, church family, and I'm almost done. I've already closed my Bible. See, I'm almost done. He wants us to say thank you. Some people say, well, Brother Will, God knows I'm thankful in my heart. I hope he does. But I want to kindly say this. He wants to hear you say it. So where do you get that? Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, talking about Jesus, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We had some testimonies last night. We had a few more testimonies tonight. And by the way, I've enjoyed those testimonies. I'm in some places, though, and it's like pulling teeth to try to get people to say what God's doing in their life. I don't understand that. And again, I know I'm not perfect, just like the next guy. But it's like, we can't raise our hand and say, man, look what God, hey, God did this for me this week. And God answered this prayer. And he wants to hear you say it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you regularly give praise in the congregation? But listen, it's not just in your church or in your home that you need to praise God. What does our text say? He says, I will give thee thanks among the heathen. The heathen in the Bible, when you see that terminology, it had the idea of the nations around Israel that didn't know God, that were serving other little g gods. Make the application for our day. Your neighbors need to hear you thank God. The people in your workplace need to know that you're a Christian, and they need to hear you thank God. The people in the restaurant need to see you and your family bow your head and thank God for your food. Yeah, I'm still old-fashioned like that. You ought to bow your head. You ought to thank God in among the heathen and not be ashamed of that whatsoever. Are we giving thanks? Listen, don't go through life with a selfish, me-focused heart. Go through life as God's child with a sacrifice of praise on your lips. David said this. David chose God. How did he choose God? He said, I will love God, I will trust God, I will call upon God, and I will give thanks unto God. We need to make those same choices every day. Again, it's not automatic. I wish it were automatic. I wish I didn't face the world, the flesh, and the devil. But I do. But in dependence upon God, by his Spirit within us, we can make those same choices. Listen, it's so, listen, I love this. I love this time of the year. I really do. I love Thanksgiving and Christmas. My favorite time of the year is this time of the year. But the danger for us is to just kind of go through and all the busyness with all the activities and not really have a heart that's in tune with God. You want to really enjoy this week? You want to really enjoy the Christmas season? Make these choices. And oh, you'll be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right? Oh, may God help us to be what he wants us to be. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us. Well, really, these are revival choices. Lord, when we choose to deny ourselves, to love you, to give up other things, Lord, to deny our own wisdom and work and to trust you, to daily call upon you, to give you thanks, Lord, I pray that you help us to say yes in whatever area you're speaking to us about tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're almost done.